Hey everybody, we're back. A Squad's back again this week. This week we're gonna get a little classical. We're gonna talk about how Japan actually lost to America in something electronical. And I get to cram in more Batman Origins down your throat. First, we're gonna talk about what we're playing though.
What are you playing at? Two-stone Nintendo.
Now playing.
With me as always is Mr. Giant Shock.
Ready to press start to go.
Max Barracuda.
What's up?
And Giant, what are you playing this week?
Well, we got bored of FIFA for this weekend. We put in the Madden, and I was pretty harsh on it at first. My first initial impression was that it was just the worst ever, but it wasn't so bad. If you love Madden, you're going to love it some more. I've grown a little tired of it, but, you know, it's got the new players. It's got some fun new stuff to it. Yeah, I mean, I made Frank Gore fumble in a funny, funny way, so, I mean, that's what made my day. But it was, all in all, it wasn't a bad time. It was, I'd say if you're definitely a football lover, go out and get it.
Do you think you're looking forward to the new recording feature from the new gen systems?
I'm not a huge poster like that, but I'm sure that there's people just salivating at the mouth for it. Like, they cannot wait for that feature. Well, like that, and, you know, all your first-person shooters can't wait for that either. Because there's so many videos online right now of people, you know, showing all their highlights on you know, Madden or any sport game or any first-person shooter. Like, they have, like, so many of snipes, stuff like that. It's great.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to looking through the thousands and thousands of kill videos on Call of Duty. I can't wait. Because I know you threw your knife up in the air. I know it landed on the guy across the board. I've seen it.
No, but no matter how many times, the replay is funny.
The replay is funny when it's yours, people. It's not funny to watch. I've done it. We've all done it.
I was actually just going to ask that. Do you guys like doing that? Checking out other people's videos?
No, I'm saying I've done it. I've thrown the knife up in the air and had it hit. But I laugh about it afterwards, and that's it.
Right.
Not so much for Call of Duty, but I was really big into watching Gears of War, because some of the times some of those kids have just amazing shots, and it's just like I'm in awe of some of their snipes.
Some of the rounds specifically, like watching an amazing round, I'll do.
I don't really know in certain boards what I want to do, and some of the better players, Ryze said, I like to see where they go and what they try to accomplish in the multiplayer board, because, you know, I see them do these great runs, and it's like, all right, you kind of want to go for this certain weapon because everyone goes for that weapon, and, you know, it's not that much of a downgrade.
So it's a strategizing thing.
Somewhat, but, like, I do like watching some highlights, not so much in the first-person shooter, but, like, in the sports games and in Gears of War. I love Gears of War, and some of those snipes that they do are just crazy.
Okay, Max, what are you playing this week?
Well, I had a hell of a week. Car trouble and all sorts of shit. So, because I spent so much time at a DMV, I've been playing a lot of mobile games. Mm-hmm. Older ones, mainly. Plants vs. Zombies. You know, I never played it until I realized I had it on my phone. I played through that entire game in one go.
I love the art in that game.
It's slick, right?
It's super slick. It's crazy fun, and why did I wait?
Right, it's sometimes it's nice to play a game for no story. Just playability.
Just made the DMV bearable. Mm-hmm. For like 3 hours.
Is it level based or is it like...
They have a variety. There's regular adventure mode, I think they call it, which is level based. And then you do challenge maps and all different kind of stipulations. It was fun.
Because I never played the game before. You just told me it was a tower game though.
Tower defense kind of thing. Yeah. Cool.
I love the art. Like I said before, I love the art in that game.
What it is, it's almost like a checkerboard type scenario in which they go, okay, 1, 2, 3, plant. And you probably get what? 20 seconds to, you collect sunlight, little pieces of the sun fall down, and you can plant sunflowers, which create more sun, and each plant costs you sun. So, it's advantageous to plant as many sunflowers as possible before...
But they have no defensive capability.
Right, and there are pea shooters that shoot at you, and there's jalapeno peppers, and all sorts of cool, weirdo, very well-drawn, very cartoony, fun things. And the zombies as well come with a football helmet you gotta knock off. I think there's flying ones.
There's all sorts of ones tied to balloons.
Ones in swimmies that attack you from pools.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah, art direction's great in it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play the new one, the Xbox One version that's coming out that's actually going to play like more like a Gears of War third person thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
With that art style, that'll be fun.
That segues into what I'm playing this week, and that's Plant vs. Zombies 2.
Really? Is that just...
Yeah, no, no. That's I've been obsessed with it all week. It just came out about 2 weeks ago. I have been playing other games, obviously, so I haven't gotten around to it. But I got around to it this week in a big way. It's called Plants vs. Zombies 2. It's About Time, which is a little joke in there because obviously we were all waiting for it forever. But also, you're time traveling, so you have to face Egyptian zombies and zombies from the Old West, and it's fun. It's different. It's pretty much the same.
Gameplay
wise, it's very similar. You get to see the old plants. Some of the plants you get later in the game, like the jalapenos and that squash that falls on you and stuff, are now purchasable inside with a mini transaction. But the regular pea shooters and stuff are all there. But there are other plants to replace it. You don't need those. Those are just a little icing on the cake.
If you're feeling nostalgic for the first game.
Right. That's all it is. It's almost like buying the outfits in the Batman games or anything like that. You don't need them to get ahead, which is nice.
I'll be picking that up this week.
Mm-hmm. How much do these cost?
I don't know. I just bought it as soon as... I think it was like $4.
It's barely anything.
Yeah. I think it was $4 when I bought it. But I just saw it and picked it up. Honestly, it could have been $200. I don't know. I clicked.
So it's $200. It's pretty rough.
I didn't look, man. My bad. You know, that's on me. All right. So let's launch into the news, man.
News team, assemble!
Good news, everyone.
Don't need money.
Bad news, everyone.
Take me away.
Have you not heard?
It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Big news this week is that the PS4 came out with an official launch date in Japan, February 22nd of 2014, a good 3 months after the US launch, which is probably the first time in history I've ever seen a system come out for us before them. In a direct statement to Sony Entertainment, a representative of the nation of Japan, Mushi, had this to say.
All right, that's it. Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your whole family.
They're pissed, man.
Harsh words.
They're pissed.
Harsh words.
I'm a small dragon. What do you guys think about this, man? Is this a turning the tides for America? Why would especially a Japanese-based company do this?
Maybe we're just clamoring for it more. There's so many gamers here. I mean, we have more people than them. I don't know. Maybe they just want to get it to us.
I would have to look at the numbers on this. See what Japan buys more of. Like, I know they're bigger than Nintendo.
I know there. Sony's had a stranglehold over Microsoft overseas in Japan.
Right.
I wonder if Microsoft's going to take this to come out as a right, you know, as a stepping stool to maybe get their hands in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe come out a little earlier than PS4, see what's up over there.
Maybe just wanted for the Christmas season. I mean, there's so much money spent in the United States for that season. They want to get it out before that season ends.
That's a good point. Because Xbox does not have a firm launch date in Japan either, mind you.
Well, is there? I guess maybe they don't have enough actual systems. They can't build them fast enough, and that's why they're doing it us first and them second.
Yeah, but traditionally that's never been the case.
Yeah, but traditionally they get theirs in like March.
Okay.
They, you know,
that's
they,
a good point too.
They get theirs way earlier than us,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way you're missing out on Christmas season in America. It's just too much money being spent.
Well, Sony actually came out and said that their reason, which I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it first because. We all know that whenever they come out with a press statement, that's not necessarily true. But they came out and said that it's just that the Japanese titles are just not as far along as the North American titles are, and they don't want to put out a system without a strong starting lineup.
That could be true, too.
It's a valid point.
But, I mean, how many systems had a strong lineup on launch day ever, really?
But I think it's just that they get different games than we do in a lot of different ways. What's big over absolutely. Here?
Well, I can't attest for what they get, but I mean, at least in America, on launch day, there's never a real strong lineup of games. Like the best game ever on launch day for me was probably Mario 64, Halo.
I was about to say Mario 64. And Halo, again, I wasn't looking forward to until I played it.
Well, that too, but I'm saying as just games go, like that was a great game on launch day, but usually you don't see on launch day so many great games.
But look at movies too. I mean, our tastes are different than over there. I'd like to see how many Call of Duty units they move in Japan compared to America.
Well, you know? I think movies is a little different just in the fact that the gameplay trumps story.
Look at the games, though. There's JRPGs that we never see over here. We never even get them that are huge over there. I want to see if the games that we get that are a huge deal are as big a deal over there. Because that could play into it if they're rushing a system out to get it out in time for Call of Duty.
All right. Well, like we talked about last week, Xbox is rushing their system off in a lot of markets. A lot of markets are not getting the verbal stuff that they promised on launch. Which one do you think is a better strategy? Do you think launching it out there with a promise that with an unfinished product rather with downloads to come, or to push back a launch to have your product a little shined up before it goes out?
I mean, if I was the company, get it in there before Christmas season. I mean, now the way things are, it's not like a Sega, you know, where like once you release it, that's it. You'd have to buy like a 32X or a Sega CD to add on to it to make it better. You could always release patches, you know. I mean, you always fix the actual the work of the machine from Xbox Live. So I mean, it's not just what you're getting forever anymore.
Okay. Who do you think made a better strategy, Xbox or Microsoft?
Well, I got to go with just PlayStation, and the fact that their strategy going into it just worked well for them from the start. While Microsoft had to do a 180 on almost everything they planned on doing.
Yeah, Max? I wouldn't even call either of these strategies. It's an arms race at this point.
Right.
Hey, the only strategy there is at all is be the first, get it out there first.
Do you think Xbox is winning it, technically?
Well, they've hit enough stumbling blocks along the way. I think their primary focus is just getting out there first. Well, PlayStation's focus is let them fuck up first, and then we'll ride that wave to victory. So, I think only time will tell.
These two are like McDonald's and Burger King. They're just going to be around. I think they both do well enough where neither of them are going to hurt so bad.
They're both going to do well. I'm just saying, I haven't seen anything like this in video games. This level of back and forth and shit talk. And
well, this is the first real systems that have been, you know, in the information age where, like, you know, where social media is so crazy where they instantaneously know that a certain number of people are totally disagreeing with them.
Well, that's what I mean, and it's changing the game. 100%.
And there are more gamers than ever before, mind you, too.
There's that, too.
We all grew up now, and there are more adult gamers, and it's a bigger industry.
I think what Shock said has a lot of credence. The social aspect, the social networking aspect, it's got to be playing huge into this.
On a side note, if anyone else read that PlayStation 4, some developers are coming out, not standing up on the mountain coming out because they don't want either system mad at them, but secretly dishing out information that the PS4 just runs so much better. Just
they've been saying that forever.
And people are saying up to 50% faster.
Well, we'll see when it comes out. This is all hearsay until, like, it's what, you know, some guy somewhere.
Well, I would also like to point out that people who say that, not that I'm in Xbox's corner or PlayStation 4's either way, you got to realize that many, many developers, you know, if I had to throw out a number, probably 70% of games are made for both, and they are not going to amp up a game for PlayStation or Xbox. They're just going to make it so and ship it out to both. So the third party games that are going to both are probably they're going to play very very similar on both
right off the
systems.
I just want to point out though, when PlayStation was first announced, when the PS4 had its first reveal, it was marketed heavily towards independent developers and the ease in which they could create games. And the feedback was huge. All these indie guys saying that we've never worked with a system like this. It's so easy to program for. This is going to change everything.
Right.
So it's not surprising that they're calling it for PlayStation on their ends.
Well, Xbox came out with that too. Xbox came out
much later.
Well, they allowed their smart glass technology now. They gave the whole kit and caboodle.
We're talking a couple months difference though.
Right.
PlayStation made themselves open and available where Microsoft was still backpedaling from all their bad decisions. So PlayStation definitely had at least the head start on this one.
And well, you can't blame them. Bill Gates had a lot of papers on his desk, a lot of hate mail at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. All right. Next story. Let's roll into this. Video Games Live Level 3 coming out. People who don't know what Video Game Live is, it's a orchestra-based concert series that plays video game music. Obviously, it was created by Tommy Tallarico, if I'm pronouncing that right. Interesting side note, he's Aerosmith Steve Tyler's cousin. he's also instrumental in making a lot of video game music. And who's the other guy? I have his
Are
name
they going
somewhere.
On tour or something like that?
Jack Wall, composer Jack Wall. Wall. Jack Wall
did all the Mass Effect games.
He did Mass Effect, he did Myst, he did Splinter Cell, he did Call of Duty. They both collaborated and did this. This is round three for them. I have both the original albums.
They're great.
Yeah, it's a great concert series. I'm definitely going to this one. Anyway, they need a little help, so they went to the Kickstarter, and their Kickstarter campaign closed this week at $285,081 from 5,679 backers, well ahead of its $250,000 goal.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a successful campaign.
That is only for the to support the recording and distribution and not the concert side.
Well, the tour will earn its money back.
Definitely. I'm definitely going to the tour this year.
Yeah. So the recording is definitely their biggest expense.
Are they going to do like a concert in the park type thing? Or are they going to actually
No.
Have you ever seen this?
Nassau Coliseum.
I mean, they're an orchestra, right? Like,
yeah, but they put the big screen up on the back. They show the gameplay. They do giant medleys for different systems. It's really cool. You should look it up. I think it's on YouTube.
They do a fantastic medley. It's a 72-piece band, or orchestra rather, 60-person choir doing the... Probably Halo is what it was there for, but other games as well. Advent Rising, they did.
Wasn't Halo? Yeah, Halo was like the first show.
Yeah, yeah. They also have a rock band.
They're going across the United States?
Oh, yeah. Well, they traditionally have. I can't say whether they are now or not, but it's accompanied with a light show and a giant, massive TV screen showing clips of the game they are playing. Weaved masterfully.
Yeah. Massively. If you like video game music, which I know we all do, it's definitely worth checking out.
Cool.
Absolutely. The album is going to be available February 18th, 2014. And I'm definitely going to pick it up, as well as get tickets to the concert.
I would like to
attend. Sounds like
this.
A fun time.
It is a good time. Just to let everybody know, I have it right here. Some of the old songs, if you want to pick them up. If you like the Sonic. Some of the older ones are, they did Advent Rising, Assassin's Creed 2. Earthworm Jim, Kingdom Hearts, Zelda, Uncharted, Mass Effect, Heroes of Might and Magic, which I love, and Halo.
No Nintendo?
Yeah, sure. They did Zelda. They did Mario, which I have played before in the show, and they did Mega Man. And the new one's going to include a couple songs that they've let loose already. Is The Shadow of the Colossus,
cool.
Silent Hill, the new Assassin's Creed, and Warcraft. More World of Warcraft. They've already done a little bit of it.
In the Age of Chaos.
I doubt we'll
I thought they were going to do the disco song.
Right.
I mean, it would make my day.
It'd bring the house down. But
okay. And the last story of the news will be Steam. Anyway, The Steam digital distribution platform for PC has announced that they are going to start doing Steam family sharing, which is what Xbox was going to do in the first place. The new service will allow friends and family to share their libraries of Steam games with each other.
Steam is a much smaller market than Microsoft, so I think it'll work better for them than it would for an Xbox.
Mm-hmm. It's going to work awesome. Just on a side note, though, you can't share individual games. You can only share full libraries at one time, and two different devices cannot access that library at the same time.
Fair enough.
But if I did lend my library to you, you can earn your own achievements.
Okay, that's great.
And if I go to sign on under mine, it'll give you 5 minutes to either sign out or purchase the game yourself.
Well, I have a Steam account. I'll check this out.
Mm-hmm. And we can be buddies. Up to 10 like I said, and
it's almost like literally the same model as Xbox was going to do.
Yeah, well, they saw a good idea and they ran with it.
Steam is Steam's really good. They're really efficient. So I think if anybody's going to pull this off, it's them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important to note that right now it's only a beta. So if you want to sign up for it, you go to the Steam website and you will find out if you are part of the beta via email. Only 1,000 accounts will be given access to it to begin with.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I'm not sure if I was given access, for example, I don't know if I could share it with you.
If
you didn't get the
if
email.
Like I wasn't on that list.
But what are the odds of those 1,000 people knowing each other
and sharing with each other?
Yeah, so
it takes that family plan thing.
Right, I'll be interested to see that.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Anyone else have anything they found out about this week that they want to talk about?
Not so.
Have they heard about?
GTA comes out next week.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to do a whole spread on GTA, but that's going to be what I'm playing next week. Well, probably the week after.
The trailer for it looks so awesome.
Of course.
Yeah.
And might as well throw out a little plug for this article that I found that I really liked. It's on cracked.com.
I saw that today.
6 insane video game fan theories that make total sense. It's a great read. And if you're a video game fan, it exposes you to this whole other level of some of your favorite games. I've heard of some of these in real life. I've heard the Mass Effect one. I've heard the Legend of Zelda one. But some of these were surprising. They were cool.
Yeah, I read that today. That was cool.
Yeah, crack.com. Cool. So just looking it up.
Okay. So then, without anything else, time to take the test.
This is a test.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
This is only a test.
Okay, this week's test is, I named it a little too literal. It's a game that gives you the literal definition of a character's name. For example, let me pull up my notes. For example, if I said a guitar-like instrument with a long neck and a circular drum-like body, you might say
a banjo,
and then you have to name the character it's from.
Kazooie.
Right, Banjo from Banjo-Kazooie.
Gotcha.
You'll get 2 points for naming the character and the game.
And the game itself.
Correct. There are 7 in total, one being a bonus question at the end.
Okay.
So, let's kick this off. First, I'm going to say it's a visible collection of particles. I got these straight from the dictionary, so...
So these are Oxford Dictionary, Webster's?
Literally Webster's Dictionary, yeah.
Okay.
Or dictionary.com, whatever you want to say. A visible collection of particles of water or ice suspended in the air, usually in the atmosphere.
One more time, I think I missed.
A visible collection of particles of water or ice suspended in the air, usually in the atmosphere.
Okay, and this is a character's name.
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Giant Shock.
Liquid Snake?
Good guess.
Thinking of a dozen names, I can't think of a character associated with them.
Okay.
We'll move on.
By the way, this is a sound when time runs out. This is a sound when you do not get it right. Which Giant Shock demonstrated. And you'll be getting one of these if you get it right. For now, Mr. Cloud Strife, Final Fantasy.
Cloud.
That's right. Final Fantasy VII. Next one in our test. Anything serving to connect one thing with another, i.e. a chain or sausage. Max Barracuda.
I'm going to go Link. And
the game.
From Legend of Zelda.
2 points for you. The third one. Third one being a fruit similar to a nectarine, having hairy skin and a large seed. Giant Shot.
Peach.
From?
Super Mario Brothers.
2 for you, my friend. Very nice.
I'm going, I don't know any Kiwi characters.
Right, right, right. It makes you think. It makes you think.
Is there a mango in there somewhere?
Next, to collide, violently and noisy. Mr. Giant Shop.
All right, I messed up. I was going to say the name of the game. I'm off.
Are you done? I need my sound effects.
Yeah, I got you.
Anyway, Max.
We go Crash from Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, I knew you knew.
It's not a stretch.
Okay. The next one is from a more recent game. I'll give you all that. And we're going to go with a substance used for washing, usually skin or dishes. Mr. Max Barracuda.
Soap, McTavish, from Call of Duty. Yeah, I got a Call of Duty one.
Nice. I'd like to throw that out that was on the single player mode.
Yes, it was.
Max Barracuda's domain. And lastly, besides the bonus question, of course, a tree bearing an acorn as its fruit.
I'm going to make a guess.
Max Barracuda?
Oak?
From?
Pokemon Professor Oak?
Nice.
Not bad.
All right. At the end, we have 8 for Mr. Max Barracuda and 2 for Giant Shock. We also have a bonus question of a more difficult nature. Same premise, more difficult character to remember. You each can bet your points.
He's ahead.
Okay.
All right. Let's bet 6.
6?
We'll go for the tie. I'll bet 7. We'll make it interesting.
Unless he wins. Matt, what are we going with, Giant?
0.
You're going to bet 0?
Go for the win.
All right. All right. That was ice cold. Ice cold. Anyway, here we go. An eruption on the skin, often causing itchiness and irritation.
I have an idea.
It's a difficult one.
I assume I lose my points if I'm wrong.
Yep, yep. Yep, that's the move.
Yeah. What if I don't answer?
That's a fucking rule.
Yeah, that's Giant Shock's right on the money. Anyway, 10 more seconds for each of you.
Yeah, why not? I'll make a guess.
Okay.
It could be one of two names, but I'm thinking from Battletoads. There was Rash. Oh, shit. There was also Pimple. I didn't know if it might have been Pimple.
No. The irritation. It's the win. And,
a well-earned one.
It looks like the winner is... Come on, dude. Gotta give him the win.
Give me my...
I fucking didn't...
Stop messing around with the thing.
I did. I had it all...
Let me do my volume. Anyway, I was saying...
A horse in my fanfare.
The winner...
Max Barracuda.
Man, just like that. That's all there is to it, Dustin. That's all there is to it. A winner.
Fuck yeah. It was worth the volume.
I jazzed it up. Shame on you for messing with my volume for calling you an idiot. How about that?
I had it the way it always was set. You didn't...
And it's off again.
Are we good now?
Yeah, we're good.
Can I introduce the next section?
Sure, you can. I saw you. I mean, I know you were going to do it.
All right. The next one, you guys may remember, Attack and Defend.
Attack and Defend.
Well, there's no turning back now. This means war.
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
Yes, I would die for you, baby. But you won't do the same.
All right, this week in Attack and Defend. Well, this week, the new Batman Arkham Origins game has come out with their whole list of villains.
Nice.
Instead of boring everyone with just coming out with it, I decided to do an attack and defend section. People who are familiar with the show know attack and defend is you pick one person to defend you and the rest are going to kill you. Let me read it off. First off, there's the hardcore crime lord Black Mask. Next, we have the physically dominating Bane, the expert marksman Deathstroke, the poisonous contortionist Copperhead, the pyromaniac Firefly, which I was excited to see join the game.
That's a cool one.
Psychopathic Joker, mind-controlling Mad Hatter, and the anti-government anarchist Anarchy. This week, I think I'm going to give you two to defend, since it's such a meaty roster, and I think if it was only one, you'd be dead anyway. So, eight are coming for you, or rather, seven are coming for you, two are defending you. Giant, who would you choose to defend you?
Bane, because he's always, like, a good super goon.
Okay.
And, who's the assassin guy again?
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke, because he's on payroll.
Mr. Sleazy.
He's not going to, it's not going to dick me over if I want to pay him.
No, no, no. No one's going to dick you over. If that helps you make a decision.
Oh, the Joker?
Okay. Yeah.
if he, like, cannot, if it's not going to happen, then right, the Joker right. And Bane, because he's a super goon.
Okay. All right.
All right, I disagree, because even by rules, the rules stated here, the Joker wouldn't listen.
That's why I specifically didn't pick the Joker.
He would be attempting to defend you, let's put it that way. He's not going to dick you over. He may not value you as much as...
All right, then I go back
collateral
to
damage,
all right, then
anything.
I go back to my original Deathstroke and Bane.
I agree with the Deathstroke, because he's on your payroll. He's not going to turn his back if you're on his payroll. He'll kill whoever you want. After that, it gets a little tricky.
Oh, I forgot. If anyone gives a shit, Penguin's in there. I didn't know.
He can defend. I don't want him to defend.
Right.
A whole bunch of birds.
You'd end up defending the Penguin.
I can only take so many bird puns.
What am I supposed to do with this umbrella anyway?
Right, and I assume the Riddler's going to be thrown in there as a joke.
Are these birds staying here until you leave, Mr. Penguin? Or?
Do I have to feed these birds? And who's cleaning up? Anyway, Max, we got Deathstroke.
Clearly Deathstroke. And after that, Bane isn't a bad choice, but he is pretty easily beaten in most stories. I might even go Black Mask, because he's got a whole organization behind him.
He's also an uber badass.
He could put me in a safe house somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the man's rich. He runs a chemical company.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's go with that. Deathstroke and Black Mask.
Okay, Deathstroke and Black Mask. Deathstroke does seem to have lead, because I was going with Deathstroke as well. I think people are afraid of him. Deathstroke.
He's still a hired gun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm actually leaning more towards the Mad Hatter, just because for the first couple hours, he generally has legit mind control over people.
Yeah, but he's got to put one of those stupid cards in their head.
He's going to slow up Batman for a while.
Batman's not coming.
Oh, he's going to slow up whoever is going to come at me.
Yeah, pick the least physically intimidating out of any of them, and that's...
Right, right.
Mad Hatter, right?
I mean...
Copperheads,
he's
not bad.
He's a Mad Hatter, man. I don't want cups of tea just sitting everywhere. Like.
Well, I'm going to actually pick the best defense is a good offense.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Joker, even though neither of you wanted it, because even though he doesn't care about collateral damage, I don't want him coming after me.
Yeah. I think, regardless in the sense, just everyone there is going to be in trouble.
Oh,
if,
yeah.
If he's in the room, it's a bad scene.
He's like, I'll defend you with Joker gas. And then you're sitting there laughing at death.
Your Joker voice sounds like the vending machines from Bioshock.
Yeah.
It's a circus of values.
All right, well, I'm going to stick with Joker, man. I think my boy's got my back, you know? And
Joker bobblehead says no.
The Joker doesn't have anyone's back.
You just put him down. Joker bobblehead says yes.
He's still shaking no.
Yeah, I'm boned. Well, whatever. Joker, and I'd like to see him work well with Black Mask. Or actually, you know what? I'm gonna recant. It's gonna be the Joker and the Mad Hatter, because I think together they could come up with something cool before the rest get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
No?
I don't know.
Nah.
It's kind of a weird
anytime
combo.
You get the Mad Hatter involved, is this...
Joker and Mad Hatter.
You gotta hear all those puns about Alice in Wonderland. It's probably how Guy dresses a walrus and one as a carpenter.
Ugh. Yeah, man.
Well, unleash a Jabberwocky. It's.
I'd like to see some kind of mind control guest helping me out or something like that. Mm-hmm.
But that's more a Scarecrow thing. I'd rather have a Scarecrow.
You gotta have the Joker too, because I think he's the least. He's killed the most people.
By far.
Right.
By far. He's a genocide.
He knows how to kill multiple people at once.
You see, here's where I'm going to differ from you. Obviously, I should say the Joker, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Mad Hatter. I'm going to show the guy that I'm trying to attack that I have no respect for him.
Then Penguin.
You think someone's just going to be upset? They're going to show up? They're going
to
be like...
No, no, because Mad Hatter's going to waste all that guy's time. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be like trying to attack me. I'm going to attack him, and it's going to be like... All of a sudden, he's going to be like chained to a chair, like hearing riddles all day.
Like, oh God, another hedge maze.
Yeah, it's
how like, many of these do I have to do?
He knows I have no intention of killing him. I just want to waste his time.
Now, you want
to
be really disrespectful to the other guys? You set up with the Penguin because he's got the Iceberg Lounge, which is the nicest nightclub in Gotham. Mm-hmm. You can sit back, smoke a cigar, have a martini, and be in luxury at least when they come for you. Then you get Black Mask and his hired goons to watch over the place.
Maybe Penguin in the Mask, where they show up and you're like, guy. Just calm down, have a drink, cigar, maybe.
You may be able to talk to him.
Right.
Talk right. Bane out of some shit.
This is nice, isn't it?
Bane in the comics is a Colombian gentleman. You give him some tequila, a cigar.
That's true.
He will work for you.
All right, final picks. Giant Shop.
Final picks for what?
The two.
Oh, definitely, like I said, who's the assassin guy? I keep forgetting his stupid name.
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke and Bane. I got to go with Bane.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my original. Deathstroke and... Black Mask.
Joker and Mad Hatter for the win.
I don't know, for the win. Joker would kill your ass.
Joker would just kill Mad Hatter.
He would kill you because it was funny. He'd protect you the whole time, and then right when you were like, yes, I'm safe, he'd put a bullet in your head out of sheer chuckles.
Nah, whatever. What if I told him I had like this sick knock-knock joke that I would...
Then he'll electrocute you instead.
Anyway.
If it doesn't end with him getting a bullet between his heads, you're going to get the punchline, bro. Like...
Right. Right. Alright, so... The next section is a section that, of course, I love every week. We're going to go into Meet a Developer.
Hello.
How's it hanging?
Watch out. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
This week's developer. Epic Games. Epic Games is founded as Potomac Computer Systems. I have no idea what's going on with the audio right now. Seems to be my microphone.
There you go.
There we go.
Bad
thing. Anyway, founded as Potomac Computer Systems. It was founded in 1991 by Tim Sweeney, rather, sorry, who is the current CEO. And Mark Rean, who is the current vice president. His first product was a MS-DOS game creation system, Epic, called ZZT, which allowed people to... I'm sorry, we have a dog.
Lastly, people let the dogs out.
Allowed people to let the dogs out. No, it allowed people to come up with their own games. It was one of the earliest engines.
Mm-hmm.
These are the Unreal Engine for that, right?
No, that was like a forerunner for the Unreal Engine. Right. Anyway, in the same year, they became Epic Mega Games, and which they came out with Epic Pinball, Kilo Blaster, Jill of the Jungle, which I actually played back then, and Jazz Jackrabbit, which was another one I owned.
I remember Jazz.
Yeah, everyone remembers Jazz. Epic is probably known nowadays for its most vocal member, Cliffy B. Cliff Bleszinski, who retired in 2012. But he was with them since 1992.
And he's pretty responsible for, like, Unreal, Gears of War.
Gears. He was a big... He was the design director for the studio.
He was, like, the face of Gears, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
And Unreal Tournament.
And also one of the most underrated games I think I've ever played, which is Shadow Complex.
Right. Right.
You ever play it? That's amazing. Great game.
Okay. Okay, I like... I played a lot of Jazz Jacker myself when I was a kid on the MS-DOS systems.
I remember playing that with my cousins.
Mm-hmm. The reason I call him Cliffy B is there's an incredibly douchey video of him calling himself Cliffy B. And I know he regrets. And I feel your pain, Cliff. I wouldn't want to be judged on how I was in high school either. I have a lot of respect for Cliffy, by the way, even though I call him Cliffy. He started...
Even though you're using the most disrespectful name for him.
Right, I actually... he actually started designing games and selling them at 17 years old. And he actually, the way he got his job is he sent them in to Tim Sweeney, and he was impressed and hired him as a teenager.
Now, he also said in 2008 that he specifically wanted people to stop calling him Cliffy B.
I know he did.
It's too catchy.
He said
it's too catchy.
His quote was, "It's time to grow up."
Right. By the way, if you don't want people saying something about you on the internet, the worst thing you can possibly do is come out and
please don't say that.
Epic Games is actually a unique studio for the fact that it's actually more famous not for its games but for its engine.
Mm.
Epic Games is responsible for the Unreal Engine,
which has been used for ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since the 90s, I would say.
Quake.
Well, there's different reiterations. There's been the Unreal Engine 1, 2, 3.
Well, I think Unreal, the first Unreal premiered in probably the mid to late 90s. And ever since then. I mean, I remember that game being on the cover of Game Informer saying, yes, these are the real graphics. Like, they were that mind-blowing. You look at it now. It's like cheap polygons.
I wasn't the hugest fan of Quake, per se, but it was always, like, graphically amazing, and the controls were pretty good.
Well,
Quake used the Quake engine.
That's one.
We're talking Unreal.
Unreal Engine.
Wait, I thought... Oh, I'm sorry.
Quake had its own engine.
Oh.
Anyway, just for people who on the podcast, people out there who don't know what an engine is, it's basically the architecture of the game. It's so that you don't have to start from scratch.
Right. It's a framework.
It's framework, the skeleton of a human being, if you want to see it. It deals with rendering, collisions, AI, visibility, network sculpting, you know, of the mountains and whatnot, and file system management, stuff like that. Stuff that it really gives designers something to work off of.
And I just looked it up. Unreal Engine debuted in 1998. So you're talking about an engine that's been in use for almost two decades.
Okay, to give people a...
decade and a half.
Yeah. But, to give people a feel of what games used the Unreal Engine, even if they weren't produced by Epic, there was I have a list. There was Red Steel, Advent Rising, which was one of my favorites.
I love that game.
Injustice, the new Mortal Kombat, Mass Effect, the Borderlands series, the Transformers series, the BioShock series, the Batman Arkham series, Splinter Cell, all the Tom Clancy games, as a matter of fact, Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, as well as blockbuster hits like 50 Cent Blood in the Sands, Duke Nukem Forever, and the video game adaptation of the classic Martin Lawrence and Ashton Kutcher Open Season.
Is that really what 50 Cent's game is called?
Yeah, Blood in the Sand.
No, he had two games actually, but Blood in the Sand was the best one because that was 50 Cent hunting terrorists in Afghanistan.
Right.
They took his money.
Oh, Dad Tran.
Right. They have a new one coming out on Xbox One called 50 Cent Get Over Yourself. anyway, the Unreal Engine 4 is coming out, and their first debut for the Unreal Engine 4 will be on, it'll be on PC and Xbox and everything, but for Epic Games, for a game specifically designed by Epic, will be a survival horror action game called Daylight, which is Daylight Primal Carnage, it's called.
I'm excited about this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's just called Daylight. Sorry, I'm reading my notes wrong. Primal Carnage will also be for PS4. That will be used in Unreal 4, Fable Legends for the Xbox One. Daylight sounded good from what I read about it.
I'm just excited to see survival horror coming back in some way.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
It's been overlooked too long.
Mm-hmm. The Daylight, I don't have it on my notes, but I have been following it. Daylight is going to be a scavenger during the day, fighting during the night type wasteland game, and it's supposed to be horror based though.
It's like I Am Legend.
Yeah, it sounds something like that. Anyway, for the Epic titles that they have come out with themselves, we all know, of course, Gears of War, Unreal Tournament, Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm was them too, huh?
Bulletstorm was them, and I always like to plug this in. I was number 5 in the entire world in Bulletstorm on multiplayer.
You never miss an opportunity to throw that one out there.
I don't like to toot my own horn, but... anyway. In 2011, Spike Video Game Awards announced that the sorry, their new project Fortnite was coming out. It's a co-op.
It's a tower defense game, right?
No. It's a sandbox game.
Because they had a game on the computer where basically, like, during the day, you go out and collect everything that you need to defend your place from zombies at night.
Yeah, that's not tower defense technically, though. Tower defense is
A much more structured.
Oh, whatever. Right, but basically, right. Like,
wave after wave kind of thing.
That's what this was.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Daylight is not done by Epic. I am looking up Daylight, and I love it, but...
You were talking about Fortnite.
I was talking about Fortnite. It's just that fell to the wayside because I haven't heard from it since 2011.
I have here the official description.
Jesus Christ, how did I get that mixed up?
Because they're very close in name. Daylight Fortnite.
And because they're both using the Unreal 4, and because I haven't heard much about them for the last 2 years. Anyway, that's the one that's going to go around a scavenger by day, fight by night.
Yeah, I most certainly would want to play this. The idea behind it sounds...
It's pretty cool.
Great. And just the fact that it's open world sandbox and you're doing this kind of game?
When I was initially following it, it was pretty cool where, like, you basically... Yeah, you know, they have fake hours of day and light, and during the day you go out and scavenge anything you can, and there's certain people that can build certain structures or defenses against the zombies at night, and there's certain people that are better at scavenging for stuff, and it was just, you know, you just do a lot of different creations on how to protect your own place or how you want to spend your time.
I was wondering why you're sitting around not chiming in. I know you were into the game, and then I realized that I got the name wrong.
Well, we're all on the same page now.
Okay.
I'm hoping it has, like, that moment when you're out scavenging and you exit a building and the sun's going down and you get that oh shit moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's not like a... It's like a fantasy world. It's not like a post-apocalyptic, world.
Still, I want that moment of, like, I gotta get back to my fortified structure.
Right. Like, what are that horrible Vin Diesel
Pitch
movie?
Pitch Black?
Like? There you go.
Yeah.
Just like that. What to expect, anyway... I'll definitely get this right. What to expect from an Epic game is pretty much larger than life, unrealistically muscular anti-heroes at this point.
No, wait a minute. That's if you work out and eat right.
No way, dude.
You can get that jacked.
That's all juice.
All the juice in the world won't make you cold big.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know the games, you'll be like kind of on par with the Punisher or Ghost Rider or Lobo or, you know, the gritty, rough characters they really go for. There's going to be over-the-top, almost comical brutality.
Yeah.
Usually.
Probably a big focus on weapons.
Mm-hmm. And Epic characters' signature is usually very powerful, heavy movements from your characters and nothing particularly graceful about the game.
Yeah, just play Gears for 10 minutes. You get the idea.
Pretty blunt.
You lumber. You don't run.
Mm-hmm. Also, you're going to encounter some well-thought-out, very unique weapons. And most of the games have a steampunk meets a futuristic type vibe to it.
Again, you guys agree? They always come out with interesting weapons, and at least, you know, the Gears of War. I know Bulletstorm had a ton of different weapons.
That was great.
Yeah.
Great.
I don't know why Bungie never just, like, takes a couple of photo shots of what these weapons are doing, because Bungie's had the same weapons forever on Halo.
Right.
Bungie doesn't do Halo anymore. Oh. So whoever the new guys are, they really should have taken note when they did Halo 4.
Okay. Well, I love the game, the weapons in the games, rather, specifically Bulletstorm.
Yeah, but to go against what you were saying in one tiny little way is that Shadow Complex game I was talking to you about. That was graceful movements across...
way back when.
It was like... Oh, 2010 or something, 2011 maybe.
Yeah, but as a rule, heavy movements. We all know what a character looks like from Epic Games.
Yeah, well, I agree with the art aesthetic, absolutely.
Right.
And the cool weapons, but that was a downloadable game, so I'm not holding them.
Oh, the iOS game? That's the game you're talking about?
No, it's not an iOS.
They have an iOS game out.
It was Xbox Arcade.
You can download. But they have an iOS.
Of Shadow Complex?
No. Epic does. They have one iOS game, and I can't remember what it was. And I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I don't have that here.
Anyway, anyone else have something to say about Epic?
I applied for a job there once.
Mm-hmm. How'd that work out?
Not good. I did not get it.
Giant?
I always loved the Gears of War series. One of my favorite series of all time.
So. Okay. All right, well, that was Epic.
That was Epic. Yes, that was Epic for the win.
We're going in the old school game.
Old school game of the week.
Old school like the old school.
Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage is a original side-scrolling beat-em-up that debuted in 1991 for the Sega Genesis. Spawned two sequels, and it's currently available on iOS via the Apple App Store and the Wii Virtual Console, and also Steam has it.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically your typical four back then. Walk to the next area, side-scrolling beat-em-up, like I said, Double Dragon, Final Fight.
Yeah, beat up some 80s-looking bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Just like those games, weapons can be picked up. The basic premise of it was three cops in a corrupt city run by an evil crime syndicate controlled by a Mr. X decide to quit the force and take matters into their own hands to make people safer on the Streets of Rage. There are three of the most 90s names I've ever heard of in my life: Mr. Adam Hunter, who was a ex-cop and boxer; Axel Stone, who was an ex-cop and martial artist; and Blaze Fielding, who is a ex-cop and judo expert. They also have one more good guy in the series, and that's the backup enforcer, who was the one cop left on the force who was still good. And he shows up with the use of a special attack that can be used once a board or once a life, and you would call the police car, and it would show up on screen, and it would fire on all enemies with a rocket launcher. And you could earn that again sometimes. Sometimes a little police car type power up would drop. It was also notable for being the first game I ever played with multiple endings that I can recall. So different endings: a good ending and an ending in which you were evil.
How'd you get either ending?
Well, to do the good ending, you could either do it one player and beat Mr. X at the end, or you could do it two players, and that's the only way you could get the bad ending. And Mr. X asks you if it's really worth it being good, and if you would want to be a bad guy. And if one of you says yes and one of you says no, then Mr. X asks you to kill the other one, and if you do, then you get the bad ending.
And it's only if the guy who said he wants to be a bad guy wins?
Yes.
All right.
And then you become the next crime lord of the city. Or if you both say yes, which is interesting, was interesting, as obviously my brother and I both said yes, you fight, and whoever wins has to go back two or three levels. I forget if it was two or three, but it was two or three levels, and play through that one player, and then get to the end, and then defeat Mr. X, and then you would be the crime lord. So it was interesting.
It's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Anyway, it was well known in the day for detailed backdrops and just revolutionary, brilliant music. You heard it before. I'll play it again. Not for nothing, but for Sega Genesis, this was pretty good.
This is pretty good.
This is pretty cutting edge.
It was early 90s, too.
Yeah.
91 was the first game.
It made for Megatech Magazine's number 6 game for Genesis ever.
I love, too, that you gave it such a description, a flourish description of the storyline, when you could pretty much take any one of those beat-em-up side-scrollers from the 90s and plug it into that same storyline.
No way, man. They were ex-cops. Jimmy and Billy legit had their woman stolen.
What about Mike Hagar? He was a mayor.
Oh, but they fought at the end. Jimmy and Billy fought at the end also. So
that's
a good parallel.
It's always crime lord.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three guys go after crime lord. And they both know karate.
Oh, everyone in the 80s and 90s, like, their side job was a little bit of jiu-jitsu or taekwondo or something like that.
Right.
And you're going to get one big guy who's kind of slow, one medium guy who's pretty well-rounded, and a fast but weak girl. Every one of those games.
Which is pretty much what they got until Streets of Rage 2, when they introduced that little kid on skates.
The little black kid with the backwards hat and
super
big
fast
skates and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Eddie Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was also a secret character that was the kangaroo.
That was the third game.
Three had Roo. Yeah,
they kind of blended in. The first one really stood out in my mind. The second two,
when I played,
well, Roo was. You had to unlock him, actually.
Right. Yeah.
You had to beat up his... he was a sub-boss, like a mini-boss, and you had to beat up his trainer without beating the kangaroo. And if you do that, then he follows you.
The first one I got was... I got Streets of Rage 2 when I initially bought Sega, so I didn't really get a chance to play Streets of Rage 1 just because when I eventually got to Sega from Nintendo, they had already come out Streets of Rage 2, and that wasn't like, oh, I need to get the story right. I gotta go get
you don't
the-
have to catch
right,
up.
Right. Yeah. Right, that was back in the day. Story didn't really matter.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just always remembered it. I found out a lot of people remembered it. There were a lot of beat-em-ups back in the day, but this one stood out in my mind. I still have love for it. I was also reminded for it because Saints Row 4 has a section in which you play a game called Saints of Rage, and it looks very, very similar.
Is it like homage to that?
It was a definite homage, and I was definitely impressed for the fact that Saints of Row has a creative character, and my creative character was redone in 8-bit very, very well.
Cool. A lot of games that I played recently have done that. Like the Deadpool game did like a homage to old games with that. Like I think it's kind of a cool thing that the games now kind of get it, where like having a level like that is just kind of a fun thing to do in a game.
But specifically, yeah, these kind of tongue-in-cheek games. Because the other one I remember is like Lollipop Chainsaw.
Lollipop Chainsaw did that
shit? Had some of that.
There's a whole level. The black guy in the spaceship had that.
Yeah. And then, like you said, Deadpool had a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I like it. It's good for, again, like this, the side-scrollers, they've had their day. I probably don't want to play a full one at this point.
No, but you get excited when you see a level.
Oh, because that's not true. What was it? We played Neon, Double Dragon Neon, earlier this year when we were all jacked.
I don't count that as an old-school side scroll like that. Yeah, I'm talking about like even Maximum Carnage is the only one I still currently play.
Well, that Ninja Turtles game has elements of it.
It's basically not. It's not a side scroller literally, but it's basically a side scroller gameplay.
And they have an arcade mode.
Yeah,
where you play it side scroller.
I'll always love those games, man. Where you just go around and have fun with a couple of characters you love. And just
I don't think I'd buy one for $60.
No. Definitely
that's a little rough to run you. It's got to be like Xbox Arcade or something like that. You have $20, then I'll roll with it.
Even 20, yeah.
No, the initial game was like, I guess, what, 20?
No, was it?
It was close. It was like
really.
Yeah, I want to say it was like
it's either 15 or $20 or something.
Yeah.
Then the same thing with the Double Dragon Neon was like either $10 or $15.
I gotta start looking for what I bought. Because I actually bought the Ninja Turtle game last week. I just don't look at the numbers.
I do enjoy those games though. Like Streets of Rage. I gotta say it's right below Final Fight for me, but it's definitely my number three as far as it's always Double Dragon for me, and then Streets of Rage, and then
you mean Final Fight then?
Final Fight.
Final Fight and Double Dragon had arcade games, freestanding arcade games. That's where I first played each of them. So
yeah, that's right. Streets of Rage didn't. Yeah. They were strictly a Genesis game.
Right. Right, so that's probably why I have a little more love for them. But I have enough love to make this our old school game of the week, so how about that?
Cool.
I like it.
All right, anyway, that about wraps it up for this week. We'll see everybody promptly on Tuesday next week. I'd like to remind everyone to hit us up at Comic-Con. We will be booth...
I think it's 1146.
1146.
1146. We're pretty sure if you see us at 1147, whatever, that's where we're at.
It's on the main floor at the small press area.
Right. You'll see us. I urge people to give us a review on iTunes, good or bad. We like learning from it. If it is bad,
don't be
tell
a dick.
Us why. Just tell us why. Don't be like, I hate that smooth sexual voice of Rise Like Phoenix or anything stupid like that. just tell us why. You know, and we'll do our best. So, as always. Anyway, for this week, we love games, you love games, you love us, and that's why we love you.